This is the Falcoholic Podcast, the official podcast of the Atlanta Falcons on the SB Nation Podcast Network. I'm David Walker. On today's podcast, we have a very special guest on board to talk about Falcons, Matt Ryan, the new leadership, and more. But first, I am joined by my partner in all the crimes, the forever and mad online, Gina Kelly. Gina, how you doing?
I am doing great, David. Thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. Next up is the editor-in-chief at The Falcoholic, he of the Matt Ryan scrambling tweets, the irreplaceable Dave Choate. Dave, how you doing?
Doing good. How are you?
All I can do is how you doing. I'm sorry. Give me the crackers. That's all I've got. And now, our special guest. You know her from ESPN as an NFL analyst on NFL Live, as well as her numerous appearances on shows like First Take, Around the Horn, SportsCenter, and more. However, we will forever know her as one of the few Matt Ryan stands in the national media. If I sound giddy, it's because we're joined by the one and only Mina Kimes. Mina, how are you doing?
I'm not going to do the voice, but I'm doing good. But I do feel like I might have lost my Matt Ryan stan status a little bit because I wasn't advocating for the Falcons to take a quarterback, but I did say I could see the argument, which was hard for me personally on many levels. But I still love Matt, and I'm excited for Matt this season. I'm excited he got a weapon. I only want the best for Matty Ice.
Oh, I love it. And this is why you're on the Falcoholic Podcast. But before we get into all that, the first question we have to ask you, is Younghoe Koo the greatest player in the NFL right now? And why is your answer yes?
My answer is not yes. Oh. It's obviously yes. I am a little, that's another thing I feel conflicted about because I think that the onside kick should be done away with. On one hand, I'm an advocate of the 4th and 15 or whatever, but I also want Younghoe Koo to maintain his edge. And so I think that's my heart is probably going to win out over my head and I'm going to continue allowing the onside kick to exist. Cause it's up to me, you know, and just so that Younghoe Koo can have a job forever.
I've been watching the NFL for many, many years, and I don't think I've ever seen a kicker succeed that many times in the span of just a few games, the way that Younghoe Koo did. It is stunning. Which honestly, for those of us who watch him in Atlanta, we've known he's been one of our greatest athletes for a while. No one else on the team, as far as I know, Dave, can do a backflip and kick the ball through the field goal. So
Croy Bierman hasn't been on the team in a while. So
that's a good point. Yeah. All right. So Mina, what are your impressions so far of the new leadership for the Falcons in Terry Fontenot and Arthur Smith?
I mean, I think the Falcons got really lucky. Like, honestly, like, you know, like the Robert Saleh hiring in New York. But to me, I thought Arthur Smith was kind of the gem of the class, really, with, you know, Bieniemy not getting a job. And then like Brian Daboll staying in Buffalo, you know, it really, to me, Saleh and Smith were the two guys, if I was a team looking for a coach, I would really want to come away with. So I think that's a massive win for Atlanta. And then, you know, I feel like half of the world hasn't noticed that Dean Pease has come out of retirement again,
right?
Like Jay-Z, you know, after multiple retirements. And I think that's massive as well, because the Falcons are a team where I really, as much as I love Dan Quinn, and I think he's like a phenomenal human being, like this is a team that I really feel like can improve with better coaching, frankly, and play calling and all of that. So to get those two guys, and then Fontenot, who I think has had a good offseason. I liked what he did in the draft. It's a little early, but, you know, he was navigating a pretty tough situation with the capping, with what it was in Atlanta. And I think without a clear mandate, you've got teams like Detroit, where everyone knows they're rebuilding. And then you've got teams like that are obviously trying to compete right now. And Atlanta's kind of in a weird in-between zone. So I think Terry and Arthur, it's an auspicious start for the new duo.
Yeah, I think so too. And going back to what you were saying about, you know, how you said that you could understand if the Falcons had decided to target a quarterback, I was in the same boat. And you and I have talked about Matt Ryan before. You know that I like him just as much as you do. But I was a little bit surprised because, you know, no matter what, he is going to be 36 this year. The Falcons, I didn't really expect Justin Fields to get past the Niners at 3, but he did. Mac Jones was also still available. And obviously the Falcons went ahead and went with Pitts. What do you think about that decision?
You know, I was really torn on it because, especially after the Falcons restructured Matt Ryan's contract, I saw that as a sign that they were leaning towards sticking with him because, as you guys know all too well, pushing that money into the future suggested that they were less likely to part ways with him after not just this season, but the following season. And this was an issue I had when Green Bay drafted Jordan Love. I understand drafting a quarterback and expecting him to sit for 1 year, but I don't think it makes sense, frankly, generally to draft a quarterback and sit in for 2 years, unless you like have both an amazing current quarterback. And I don't know, you're drafting like Trevor Lawrence, I guess you can defend it, but so much of the benefit of having the rookie quarterback is the contract. And even if they were to move on from Matt after 1 year, they would still have to absorb it and do the trade after June 1st, assuming they could find a trade partner. We're talking about a lot of dead money. So
yeah,
It just kind of, once they did that, I thought more likely than not, they're either going to trade down or take a player. I thought they're going to trade down, but then you started kind of getting more heat around Kyle Pitts. And I think more people watching his tape and realizing what an insane player he is, will be. And by the end of it, I had kind of come around to the idea of just turning the offense into a Death Star in 2021.
I love that.
And, you know, to maybe stretch that Death Star metaphor a little too far, how long do you think that Matt Ryan can captain that thing in the giant laser? Do you think that he will hit a wall before 40? Is he the kind of guy that's going to age gracefully? And, you know, what does that mean for this team, do you think, if he can or cannot?
Yeah, I think Matt took a bit of a step back last year, candidly. Like, it was not a great season for him. I've had issues with the Falcons play calling on offense for a couple of years now. So I don't think, like, going back to Aaron Rodgers also took a step back before last season. Everyone seems kind of has like forgotten that, even though that's what preceded the Love pick and arguably precipitated it in some ways. So I think it's entirely possible that Ryan, who's obviously a very different kind of quarterback from Rodgers, does have a bit of a comeback this year, depending on, you know, the play calling, how the protection holds up. It's kind of really about the pieces around him. Like, looking within your guys' own division to Tom Brady, the biggest reason for Tom Brady's success is protection. Like, you saw his splits with and without pressure. They're incredibly dramatic. And to me, that's going to be a big factor in Atlanta over the next few years. Can you protect Matt Ryan? I think if you can protect him with the playmakers they have, the offense can continue to be very like a top 10 offense moving forward.
So Mina, on that note, do you find it frustrating or lonely being one of the few sort of in the national media who does hold a relatively good opinion of Ryan? Cause I know for us, you know, we cover him very, very closely. It does seem like every time we're turning on the national media, there's obviously you've got the Patrick Mahomes of the world. Almost as if you're not Patrick Mahomes, you don't count in the league now. If you're not that super athletic, big armed quarterback, people are constantly looking for. And we saw that in this draft class where people were talking about Justin Fields, his athleticism, Trey Lance, his athleticism. And yet you still see guys like Matt Ryan, in my opinion, still a very effective quarterback. Is it frustrating to see sort of that talk shift purely to athleticism?
Yeah. So I would make this point. Well, first of all, the conversation around Matt Ryan, I think he's overlooked a lot just because the team's bad. Sorry. Yeah. I think that, you know, it, like Matt Ryan, everyone I work with knows that he, is a good quarterback, and you know, we also all like saw what happened with Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger. Like, people see what's happening. It's just if the team's bad, you're less likely to talk about the quarterback. But as far as him being sort of more of the traditional pocket passer model, you know, going into this draft and especially talking about the San Francisco pick, I kept saying, show me a pocket passer who lacks mobility, who was drafted in the last 10 years, but you can go more recently than that, and has had great success in the league. And there are not examples. Like, the best examples, I guess, are Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins, and who both of whom, you know, like, are sort of that, not in that top tier. However, there's a difference between that, this latest generation, and Matt Ryan, which is that Ryan came up at a different moment in the league. Like, his development and arc was different. The way defenses played, the way offenses were called was different. So his, like, if Matt Ryan came into the NFL now, I don't think he would have had the same career, candidly. And when you do lack that mobility, Matt Ryan has a much stronger arm than, you know, like some of the, like, I don't know. I think he's got a stronger arm than like Mac Jones, for example, who it was sort of the prototype for the pocket passer in this draft. But coming into the league now, it's, my point was not that you can't succeed as a pocket passer. Clearly, we just saw one win the Super Bowl. My point is that when you're drafted now as a rookie, it's a lot harder to develop as a pocket passer when you don't, when you can't lean on your legs to get out of trouble the way a Justin Herbert can, and on the, or Joe Burrow even, you know? And so I think that with Matt, again, like, the, he can still be a top quarterback, but he also is in that position because of the fact that he's been in the league for so long.
Do you, as a follow-up to that, do you think that some of that is just a lack of patience in the NFL now? It seems like coaches know they have a short, short window in which to be successful. And they, it, sometimes it takes several years to build up a really good offensive line or the talent around them.
I completely think that. And then the other thing I'll add is, I think a lot of the mobile quarterbacks now are better passers than they were years ago. You know, it's interesting. Obviously, you guys going from Vic to Ryan have kind of seen both sides of the same coin. Like, if Vic comes into the career now, he is probably a very different, or into the NFL now, pardon me. Or if he is taught how to play football now, he has a very different career than he did. I always say, I believe with Vic, if he had ended up with Andy Reid a lot earlier, his entire career would have been so much better.
Yeah.
No offense. So I just think, yeah, a lot of it has to do with the way football's coached now, with the way it's called, and things are just very different. But all of that doesn't mean that Matt Ryan and the Falcons and Arthur Smith can't have a very successful offense in 2021.
Yeah, and I especially am excited to see, because you mentioned the play calling has been questionable the past couple of years. But I do want to switch gears a little bit and go back to, we've talked a little bit about Aaron Rodgers here. Hmm. We saw some big shakeups this offseason with veteran quarterbacks, with Matt Stafford being traded. There's all of this drama circling right now about Rodgers. And so looking at what the Falcons decided to do or didn't do with Matt Ryan, like, how would you compare those situations?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think, like, probably like a more comparable situation would be, I don't know, Detroit parting ways with Matt Stafford. But Detroit has a bad football team. And then some people might look at Atlanta and say, well, like, how good is this team? Well, I think they're better, frankly, than Detroit. Atlanta underperformed last year based on point differential. Like, they should have, and you saw that, like, it was such a, it's such a bizarre team. Like, there'd be games like the Chiefs game, you're like, wait, what is happening? Who, you know? And again, that's why I think a lot of it is coaching. I do think there's some issues with talent on defense, particularly in the secondary, but you know, I think every team has to look at their roster and their timeline when deciding whether to move on from their quarterback. That's why trading Russell Wilson, for example, made no sense. People kept saying that, because I was like, the Seahawks just won the effing division. Why would they trade their Hall of Fame quarterback? Whereas a team like Detroit, it made sense because they weren't going anywhere and they kind of had to hit reset.
And, you know, speaking of Atlanta, you noted the Chiefs game, which it was bizarre but wonderful in its way. Just looking at the talent base of this team, looking at the new coaching staff and the regard you hold them in, is this just the Buccaneers division straight out with everyone looking like they either took a step back or didn't take a big enough step forward? Or do you think the Falcons and maybe Panthers are in on this thing?
I think definitely you've got the Falcons and Panthers moving in opposite direction from the Saints for obvious reasons. We'll see. Even setting aside the quarterback situation in New Orleans, the roster was, you know, kind of tapped out, right? Like they had to let guys go. They had kind of a weird draft, in my opinion, candidly. So like we'll see what happens there, but it feels like they're in a transition period. I think Atlanta should also be very happy that Carolina didn't take a quarterback in the draft, which is something I was ambivalent about Atlanta. And then I thought Carolina should absolutely draft a quarterback, which is weird to me that more people didn't agree, because I was like, Matt Ryan's better than Sam Darnold, and you have way more money committed to him than Carolina did. But I digress. I think they're still a young team with a lot of holes as well. To me, it really just comes down to can the young players in the secondary improve? What can coaching help? And then can Matt Ryan rebound? And I think the pieces are in place for him to rebound with the coaches and, you know, the addition of Pitts.
So Mina, we're coming up on the amount of time we've agreed to. So again, thank you for joining us. It really is a pleasure. But I do have one last question for you before we wrap things up. Kyle Pitts, we've sort of talked around him a little bit. We've talked about the offense, and I've heard a lot of talk around him that has, myself included as a fan, you know, we can get a little bit crazy. The hype seems to be a bit out of control at times. We're hearing comparisons, not just to some of the great tight ends in the league, but, you know, some people are talking about Calvin Johnson, who is arguably one of the greatest wide receivers to have played. But let me ask you, what do you think of his potential? And particularly, I think with Arthur Smith, who seems to be really, really good at using tight ends. So how do you see Pitts fitting in? And do you feel like some of the hype is too much, or do you think that he really does have an incredible ceiling ahead of him?
Well, so from a schematic standpoint first, I actually am very curious to see what Arthur Smith does, because while he has used, you know, two tight ends a lot in Tennessee and called a really successful and interesting offense there. By the way, I have Julio in Dynasty, and I am just praying that Arthur Smith delivers me from red zone hell with my beloved Julio. But I think the personnel in Atlanta is very different from what he had in Tennessee. That includes Pitts, who's, you know, super different from Jonnu Smith. But also Matt Ryan is very different from Ryan Tannehill. Atlanta does not have a dominant back, as much as I love Seahawks legend Mike Davis. So he is on the Falcons, right? Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So great player. So anyways, it's a very different group of players. So I don't think we know exactly what Arthur is going to do with the players at his disposal. That said, I think part of the reason I'm so optimistic about Kyle Pitts, not only his ceiling, which is obviously, you know, the moon, but his ability to make an impact immediately in the league, which is unusual for tight ends. Usually it takes a year or so. Is because A, he's got a very good play caller, B, he's got a decent quarterback, and C, he also plays with, you know, one of the better wide receiver groups in the NFL. Like, Kyle Pitts is not going to be doubled. Like, Kyle Pitts is, they're going to be able to get the matchups they want, whether it's, you know, a linebacker that he's faster than or a DB that he's bigger than, because Julio Jones exists. And so it's like, not only does Kyle Pitts have all these like absurd tools, and I watched, you know, all of his college tape like everyone else and laughed, but also he ended up, like, we talk a lot about quarterback situations. He ended up in the best possible situation for a pass catch for a skill player. And that is really unusual for a tight end entering the league.
Excellent points. I have one more question for you.
Yeah.
And I want to add this in because you've been gracious with your time. We have bombarded you with Falcons questions. So I'm going to finish with a Seahawks question.
Okay.
And it is simply this. Will Russell Wilson retire as a Seattle Seahawk?
Oh, man. I'm inclined to think probably not because of any the whole Russell Wilson trade hype cycle, but like, who's retiring on their same team anywhere these days? Like Tom Brady goes to the Bucks. Aaron Rodgers wants out. We saw what happened with Peyton. I mean, like the Drew Brees is kind of the exception. Like all of these like GOAT quarterbacks are moving at the end of their careers. And that kind of takes me back to your question about Matt Ryan and ending his career or whatever in Atlanta. It just seems more often than not that those interests don't always align at the end. But I would certainly hope that he does as a Seahawks fan.
And there we have it. Ladies and gentlemen, Mina Kimes, thank you again. So Mina, before we part ways, would you let our listeners know where they can find you and what you have going on?
Yeah, you guys can catch my takes on the other 31 teams on the Mina Kimes show featuring Lenny, which is my NFL podcast. A lot of Matt Ryan enthusiasm there. So if you're a Falcons fan listening, hopefully you won't get angry at any disrespect.
Oh, there's plenty of disrespect that comes from Atlanta Falcons fans for Matt Ryan.
Yeah, yeah, unfortunately.
Come on. I love Falcons fans. It's one of my favorite fan bases.
We're an eclectic bunch.
Yeah, we've been bound together by our mutual misery.
I like it.
Yes, we're all broken. Gina, remind our listeners where they can find you, what you have going on.
You can find me at Gina Thomas on Twitter. It's J-E-A-N-N-A Thomas. And right now you can find me doing as little as possible because I am fired from the draft.
Dave, wrap us up. Let us know where they can find you, what you've got going on.
You can find me at The Falcoholic on Twitter, where I'm warming up some Matt Ryan scrambling tweets for at least one more year. And on the site, be sure to check out this week. We have scouting reports on all the Falcons picks, which I think are going to be great. And Evan Birchfield is talking to a lot of our undrafted free agents. Some great interviews coming up as well.
Great stuff as always. As for me, guys, you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW. Updates for this podcast at FalcoholicPod. And of course, our articles daily at TheFalcoholic.com. As for our special guests, Mina Kimes, Dave Choate, and Gina Kelly, this is David Walker. Thank you guys for listening in. We'll talk with you next time.